You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Stuck.
To be more specific, the Stuck at Home edition.
I'm Rochelle Pereira from Equilibrium, the book.
And I'm Damian Bazzadonna from Situation, the gut.
So before we head into our fourth season, we decided to do a special series of Stuck episodes, as many of us, including ourselves, are having to work in a totally different way and have a whole new set of challenges.
The rules for this episode are just a little bit different. Katie, Peter, and Steph will still read the questions up front, but rather than being from a specific individual, these topics have been crowdsourced from many of our listeners in the hopes that we can address what a lot of you we know are feeling right now.
Thank you all for tuning in, and we look forward to helping you get unstuck.
So a lot of us now find ourselves working from home, and with that has come a bunch of new challenges. Some of us have kids at home now that schools are closed. We may not have a designated office space or have partners and roommates around. And though there's thankfully a lot of technology out there that makes this all possible, it can also have its hiccups. And there's all this while we're still trying to maximize our productivity and stay connected to our teams. What advice do you have for folks who are stuck at home now trying to navigate all of these new challenges?
Michelle, what do you think?
Well, I can certainly relate to this one. I live in a two-bedroom apartment in New York with my family of four with no yard. So I get it. this is definitely 6, 000, my world.
It's 6,000 square feet, though. I don't know what you're complaining about.
Oh, God. A little less than 1,000, my friend. Less than 1,000. Painful. But yeah, this is real, you know, and I'm certainly talking to a lot of clients that have a variety of different like physical challenges to their workspace, you know? So some people live in studio apartments where people can't be on calls at the same time, or they have, you know, one person told me recently that they have a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old and she's a single mother. So both children are on her all day long. So the possibility of getting any space to get work done and talk to clients and all that kind of stuff is really hard. I mean, it's a real challenge to be able to balance, you know, the people in your space, roommates, all kinds of things, and getting on with your normal life, whatever normal is.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just sort of the same. I kind of went to the same place. The idea of what boundaries mean is all of a sudden, all those boundaries have kind of been broken in one way, shape, or form. So there's a lot of gray. I mean, for a fair number of people, they get up in the morning, they go to work, they come back, and then it's a reset into another zone of their life. When all of a sudden you blur the whole thing, it just has all this grayness. So we're recording this on a Friday afternoon. We're like, oh yeah, tomorrow's the weekend. I'm like, it's literally going to be the same exact thing as it is today, tomorrow. So there's no even such thing as a weekend at this point, you know? Like, I think I understand the tension that sort of exists with it. I'll give you a boring place to where I started, but I do think it's important, is the idea is to make sure however you're going to do it, that your technology is in place. There's nothing more maddening than spending half your morning trying to learn how to use a particular tool And I see this a lot. And I think whatever tool you're going to use, whether it's Zoom or something, become like a Zoom master. A lot of people don't. And inclusive of myself, it took me a little time to get there. And then I realized you start learning all the shortcuts. You save yourself so much time that it's an easy thing that you can do that people just completely overlook because they don't invest the time in it. That's my lazy, easy answer. I have a whole bunch of other thoughts, but where did you start?
Well, I'll piggyback off of that one because it's also making the assumption that everybody already has the technology that they need or that they have the internet connection and the bandwidth that they need. You know, a lot of our clients are global companies. And so there's just a huge amount of challenge around getting the right technology to the people so that they can even function.
Yeah, you know. That's true. I take that for granted. And we had planned for it. So meaning we took about a week of prep before we actually did it. So I take that for granted. For some, it's just like you're not coming in tomorrow, so then readjust. So it's a really a good point that I just completely didn't even think about, is that for a lot, many folks, they don't really have a chance to even prepare for this. You get thrust into whatever situation you have. So you're trying to manage your tech without being able to leave your house. So what you got is what you got. So yeah.
Yeah. But I guess if we can put it aside that technology is set, then I think where my brain goes is around trying to create more certainty. So, you know, when we're overwhelmed with so much change and uncertainty and ambiguity and fear, we get into what they call the limbic hijack. And so we're at a different part of our brains, which means we can't think clearly. We cannot even process, you know, enough to do regular work and that sort of stuff. So it's like, how do we get ourselves out of the limbic hijack into a more secure place? And I think it's starting really small and thinking about things that you can do in your apartment or in your home to set yourself up for a little bit more structure. So, you know, one of the first things that I did was that I moved my desk in my apartment so that I had better natural light. It's not in any way feng shui, like it looks so weird in the room, but it's just more workable in terms of I've got better light, better access to power cords and different sorts of things. And I've tried to make it ergonomic so that my body is more comfortable sitting in these spaces for longer periods of time. You know, thinking about what are the unique spaces that you create in your home, especially if you didn't already have like a home office, I think is one place to start.
Yeah, I agree. I moved my family outside. So they're outside right now in the forest somewhere. It's been excellent. I'm sort of in the same, I kind of went the same path of like, you know, control what you could control. So for example, for me, I make sure we've scheduled a leadership meeting first thing in the morning to kind of create some structure to start the day that I know that call is going to be there. And then that sort of locks everything else in and gets going to kind of create a sense of rhythm. But I do think some form of ritual or rhythm. And I also feel like be the early bird, like get up early in advance. Everyone's got different situations, but again, for I'll speak from at least from my own perspective with children and things like that. Whereas for being homeschooled, it's horrible. And I love being home with my kids. It's like a very unique moment in time, but it is extremely unpredictable. And so, you know, you're put in this situation where you're trying to help a child figure something out or take on an important business meeting, or, you know, there's all these if-thens, and you're always going to choose different priorities as you're doing it. Those are things you can't control because you just don't know when it's going to happen. But what I can control is for some of the work that I need to do, I might get up at 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. because I know it's going to be slightly quieter and be able to contain and get a lot of that stuff done. So I feel like there's certain things that, and the evening hours, I decide to work a little bit more during certain windows in order to really contain everything.
I am doing a version of that. So I set my alarm. I get up at the same time. I shower. I dress. I eat breakfast. And that sounds so basic, but I definitely imagine that there's a lot of people out there who are rolling out of bed and sort of working in their pajamas and sort of it blurs the line between when is work and when is weekend. And I'm trying to create as much mental structure around when my day starts and ends. And I find it really changes my mood. And the days when I've had less structure, I feel more uneasy.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, you know, as I kind of bridging out to another point where I had just written down sort of like ratchet up the humanity. I feel like, you know, the more we're using these tools. And so we have our State of the Unions where I usually stand up in front of the company about once a month and I, you know, tell them what's happening in the company. And we do that in person. And now all of a sudden we're now being thrust into this world where now we're doing them by Zoom. And I have to say, in many respects, like with the technology, it could almost like not fool you, but make you feel like you're connected to all of these people, because I'm looking at people face to face, like through Zoom. But what I realized, and I think it's amazing, actually, and I think it's the transition we've been able to make as a company, and just personally, my own journey going through this has shown me how far virtual kind of communication has really come. But I would also say that I think it it's just sort of showing that I think your human skills have to be at peak condition in this space, because even though we're making eye-to-eye contact or like through screens, I think you have to work a little bit harder to connect with people and go a little bit above and beyond in a whole range of ways. So I think like one of the pieces, the advice that I would sort of say to people is just that they're in an environment where they're making an active effort to communicate with people, even if it's by Zoom. So if you normally talk to someone one time a day in the office in person, do it two times in Zoom, of just a connector point to make sure someone is heard. Because my fear is that, and I see this happen in our own company, we see each other on a screen, but I'm not necessarily, that's not replacing that human connection that kind of bridges us. So like I'm sort of in a, and because I think it's going to go into other things like the ladder of inference and which is my favorite Rochelle point. But I think it's inevitably going to go there, and I can already see it. So I feel like we have daily structure, connecting with people on an ongoing basis. But yeah, what do you think?
Yes, I think that there is an opportunity for us to be more human with each other. And this is actually really, I think you'll like this, Damien. I'm working on a project for the UN, and they gathered a ton of information from people who work across the UN in terms of how are they dealing with this particular crisis, and what is difficult about working from home, and what do they actually enjoy working from home? What's their relationship like with their manager right now? And one of the most interesting pieces of data that came from that study that I just saw today was that they feel more connected to their manager right now than they perhaps ever have, because their manager is now asking them, how are you doing? How is your family? Is everyone safe? Is everyone well? What do you need? You know, and it's, and I actually, in a lot of ways, I think it's an opportunity to inject a lot of the humanity that I feel like we're constantly, you know, bellowing on about. And this is an opportunity to reset some of those relationships, I think, in a meaningful way.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I agree. I think, so how do we take them out here? What would you say if your recommendation? So we're talking about control what you can control. Like you kind of create, well, your first point was more similar to that, right? It was.
Yeah. Like create your space, yep. Create your schedule, start your day intentionally. One thing I didn't mention before is communicate with the other people in your space about who's using what and when. Sometimes people only have one laptop and four people need to use it. You know, a lot of this is about communicating with the people that you're locked in with. And then it's also then about communicating more closely in a lot of ways with the people that you work with too.
Well said.
Yeah. Well, we feel for all of you, and we're experiencing the very same thing in our own households. So we'll see you next time.
See ya.
If you found this episode helpful, please rate it on Apple Podcasts or leave us a comment or share it with somebody else that you know is stuck. This helps us reach listeners who could benefit from these conversations. And if you'd like your own question answered, go to our website, stuckpod.com, to submit a question.
Stuck is created by Equilibrium and Situation. It is produced by the wonderful Katie Byrne, Peter Ujicic, and Stephanie Connors. Our theme music is Rockstar by Owen Mulcahy. Be well, be safe.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.